Hi, friends. This is Bram Floria with Compassion Radio, the radio voice for global mission.
Later in the program, you'll hear Jim Governale give information on how you can join us. So listen for that and have a pen handy. And now to today's Compassion Radio program.
On today's Compassion Radio.
It's said that there are perhaps as many as 20% of our regular American churchgoers who give absolutely nothing that can at least be documented with any kind of a paper or digital trail to the Lord's work of any kind.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
When you do it for the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. Hello, friend, and welcome to Compassion Radio, celebrating our 74th year of broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ on radio. Here we are Tuesday, May the 2nd, and having just celebrated Easter, we're excited to tell you about our project for this month of May. We're calling our Bibles for India project. It's a tremendous opportunity to reach out and join this great commission mission of getting Bibles into the hands of those who've never had one before. Think of that. More on this timely project in just a few minutes. Right now, we conclude with part two of a classic best of broadcast featuring Dr. Norm Nelson speaking on the topic of Christians in the age of wealth.
All right, our guest today on Compassion Radio and back for a second day is Dr. Craig Blomberg. And Dr. Blomberg, or Craig as we have permission to call him, is a distinguished professor of New Testament at Denver Seminary. Craig, it's really great to have you back with us again.
Well, thank you for having me again. It's my privilege.
And we are discussing, we began the discussion of a book that, as I told you off the radio, I thought should be nailed Martin Luther-like to the doors of a megachurch here in America. It is such an important book about the use of funds, the use of wealth, the Bible's teaching about that, about stewardship and all of that. But we began to put this in context by talking just briefly about affluenza, a disease that affects the U.S. and in general, the culture not only of the United States, but I think we pretty well decided the evangelical church in America as well. What is affluenza, by way of review?
Affluenza is the title of a book and a movie made from it about the sickness or disease, metaphorically, that comes from affluence and the desire to constantly have more and more stuff.
Craig, how does that impact our discipleship here in America as evangelical Christians, or just Christians generally, in a negative way?
That's right. I think it was Martin Marty back in the 1980s who pointed out that the evangelical church in America, for most of its history, had been considerably poorer than either mainline Protestantism or Roman Catholicism. But that during the decade of the 1970s, for the first time, perhaps not coincidentally and coinciding with the year of the election of Jimmy Carter, which Time magazine in 1976 dubbed the year of the evangelical, now it was, and certainly has remained ever since, evangelicals who have the greatest amount of wealth, who have the most amount of money put into lavish facilities, who own the most amount of property, whether in terms of individuals or in terms of churches collectively.
Does that in a negative way impact, or can it impact, our discipleship?
Absolutely. James 4:13-17 is that little paragraph that talks about the wannabes, those who would say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and we'll spend a year there and we'll make money. And then in verse 15, James berates them for not allowing for the Lord's will to be something quite different. We go well beyond planning a year ahead, but to make confident plans and baptize our financial desires by words that claim they're God's without necessarily bringing to the Lord in any significant way at all.
Yeah. Well, it's, I think, a very important analysis and perhaps a serious indictment on our community that should, I think, prompt us to look inwardly, and but more important than that, to look at Scripture and to see how we line up with the Bible in terms of our stewardship. Your book, Craig, then moves on, and it talks about five different elements or issues that the Bible touches on with regard to matters of stewardship and the use of material wealth and so forth. And those five are, first, the goodness of wealth, second, seduction to sin, three, the matter of generous giving, and then fourth, troubles with tithes and taxes, and then fifth, how much is at stake in this whole matter, this whole issue of stewardship, both individual and collectively as the church in America? I don't think we have time to touch on all of them, but boy, there's some really, really important material in several of them that I'd like to introduce to our listeners. First of all, the goodness of wealth. What does the Bible say about that?
Especially in the Old Testament, you find all kinds of folks who are God-fearing and law-abiding, and God blesses them with a substantial measure of personal wealth, beginning at least from the time of Abraham and the patriarchs onward. During the period of the law, you find a covenantal arrangement that God makes with Israel, particularly as a nation, as a people group, that to the degree she is more obedient than not to God's laws, God will allow the people to live in the promised land in peace and safety and security from their enemies with a measure of financial prosperity. But it's important to note that that is not a covenant that he makes with any other nation, nor is it one that carries over in the New Testament to the church. There are, to be sure, wealthy Christians that dot the pages of the New Testament, many of whom are praised. And 1 Timothy 6 talks about those who are generous in giving, who then can recognize that what God has given them, that they keep for themselves, was meant for their enjoyment. So God's not an ascetic. He's not saying his people must live at the poverty line or have as little as is possible. Wealth is good, and we are meant to enjoy it.
You know, there is a, within the context of that affirmation, there is a very important, and I think probably for our listeners, a very familiar teaching that is heard a great deal on Christian radio, perhaps, as well as on Christian television, called the prosperity gospel. What exactly is that, and how does it line up with Scripture?
Usually that term is used to refer to churches or individual teachers who try to take that Old Testament model and carry it over into the New. They try to say that if a Christian simply has enough faith or is sufficiently obedient to God, that God wants to bless them with material riches. And that's a caricature even of the Old Testament. As we just said, there were plenty of individuals who were quite godly in Israel and yet the victims of oppression and deprivation. But more often than not, that principle held true, and it held true for sure for Israel as a whole. When you get to the New Testament, you just don't find that kind of teaching carrying over, however. And so the danger becomes one of creating hugely false expectations on the part of people who try to implement it, and perhaps worse still, a huge guilt trip on those who find that it doesn't work for them and are then told, well, you just didn't have enough faith. You weren't sufficiently obedient to get the material prosperity that God wants. What a horrible shadow to have to live under.
Yeah, Craig, the thought comes to mind, is faith in the Bible a quantitative entity? In other words, is there such a thing as lots of faith, little faith, good faith, bad faith? How do we think about faith in those terms?
Well, you certainly do have passages, including from Jesus himself, when he talks about if you have faith just the size of a mustard seed. I think it rings true to human experience as well, that there are situations in which they find it harder to believe God's promises, and situations in which they find it easier to believe in God's promises. But I'm always struck by Hebrews 11 and the roll call of the heroes of the faith in the Old Testament, which ends at the end of that chapter by saying that all these people, even the ones who were blessed, died without receiving the fullness of the promises of God, which ultimately can come only in the life to come. And so the danger with the prosperity gospel is to claim that what we can only have in eternity is somehow available to us now at times.
You're listening to a special Best Of edition of Compassion Radio, featuring Dr. Norm Nelson, that was conducted 3 years ago this month. And we'll get right back to it in just a moment. Speaking of Norm, when you get a minute, be sure to visit us at CompassionRadio.com and see the loving tribute that's posted on our front page. It would mean so much to us here at Compassion Radio to hear from friends like you. Stay tuned for an announcement at the conclusion of today's broadcast regarding a celebration of life for Norm that we want you to be part of. Again, that's CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back to the program.
It's certainly an effective inducement for perhaps giving to ministries and listening and watching ministries and so forth. I struggle, obviously, with the whole notion of it, because I spend so much of my time in parts of the world where there is tremendous need, material need, spiritual need. And I'm always looking in those places at people who suffer from a deprivation of the fundamental needs of human life just to subsist on this planet. And usually through no fault of their own, they are caught in wars or in political arguments that in one way or another impact them, natural disasters, perhaps the behavior of wealthy nations who in one way or another prey on nations that are not blessed materially in ways that really, from a Christian point of view, certainly don't honor God and so forth. But I see these incredible needs. And then I see people who are caught up in the prosperity gospel and thinking essentially about themselves, and maybe the practitioners of this, the pastors and teachers and so forth, who advance this kind of thinking. And I find it very inappropriate, certainly in the realm of the level of human need that I move in all the time. And to that end, I'd like to move over to chapter 4 in your book and talk a bit about generous giving. I'll tell you, that is extremely important in terms of the ministry of those who participate here at Compassion Radio, not only the staff, but those who give to support. And they're giving not only to honor God, but they're giving to help those who suffer and whose own need breaks the heart of God himself. What is the biblical teaching about generous giving? What is the inducement that is in front of us to give with generosity to help those who are in need?
Yeah, it certainly is heartbreaking to see many of the most desperate needs of the world, which are well beyond our own borders, Of course, this gets into the whole debate about tithing, and I often like to say to people that if a given Christian chooses to give 10% of their income to the Lord's work and it goes to a good church or group of parachurch ministries that have a heart for the poorest and neediest of the world, then I applaud that, because the average American Christian gives somewhere under 3% of his or her annual income to such ministry. But I think the challenge has to go beyond that. Whether or not you see the Old Testament principle of tithing carrying over to the New, and I don't, the needs are great enough that those of us with resources, those of us who would be considered middle to upper middle class, or even, if we were honest, more in an upper class bracket, should really think in terms of giving well beyond 10%. And yes, support your local church generously and be in a church that you can with good conscience support. But then with ministries like yours and or others, consider giving substantially more, because the needs of the world are that great.
Craig, there is an absolutely stunningly important passage in the letter of 1 John in the New Testament in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It goes like this. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and with truth. That sounds a lot like the book of James or the letter of James, doesn't it?
It really does. A lot of people disregard James because they heard that Martin Luther had problems with him, and there are always those questions about how does he fit together with Paul's teaching. But that's not an issue when it comes to the writings of John. And if anybody is not clear from the English translation, the significance of the rhetorical question, how can the love of God be in that person? The Greek is unambiguous. John is saying it can't. In fact, wow. John's three epistles together are really saying that there are three overlapping tests for genuine Christian faith. There certainly is belief in Jesus as fully God and fully human. But there's also the test of keeping Christ's commandments. And there's the test of love, and love especially for Christian brothers and sisters. That's not to take a gospel by grace through faith alone and supplement it with works. It's simply a way of saying, if you have the true saving faith that truly has allegiance to Jesus as Lord, then it will necessarily follow from that that we love, and we love not in some mushy, intangible way only, but down to the nitty-gritty of helping especially fellow believers with their needs, both spiritually and materially.
It just knocks me over when I read your discussion of the Greek text there, and in particular where you say in the book that in this rhetorical question in verse 17, that it reads like this, the love of God does not, indeed cannot, remain in such a person. And that's the person who withholds what the Lord has given to him or to her to help those who are in need. And when they see someone in need, who draw back from that, not just a privilege, but really a command, an obligation. That's so serious, isn't it?
Right. And I think we also have to, at the same time, reassure our listeners that we're not talking about momentary lapses. We're not talking about the occasional sin of omission that every one of us has committed. But John, throughout his writing, is talking about what characterizes a person's life overall. It's said that there are perhaps as many as 20% of our regular American churchgoers who give absolutely nothing that can at least be documented with any kind of a paper or digital trail to the Lord's work of any kind.
Wow.
And if that persists over the course of one's life, if that's reflective of one's attitude toward one's property as well as one's finances, it really does call into question the genuineness of any profession of faith that has been made.
Yeah, and you point this out, and I think it's so important. We are not saved by works, but we are saved for the purpose of good works. That is a scriptural reference. So important. I am so pleased and so blessed that we have here at Compassion Radio, and they're listening right now, and the listeners to Compassion Radio have thoroughly bought in to the privilege, the wonderful privilege of loving the people that Jesus, the living Christ, loves today. And they are, without a doubt, the poor and the needy of the world who have no voice, who have no opportunity to worship God without bombs going off above their heads and kidnappings of members of their family. Craig, this radio ministry, because of the generosity of its listening partners, have accomplished wonderful things in the name of Jesus in 31 very difficult countries around the world. So they really get it, I'll tell you. But just in case there are some who do not, and I would say, even for those who do, your book, Christians in an Age of Wealth, is without a doubt the finest book that I've read on the biblical theology of stewardship, honestly, in my lifetime. It is so solidly biblical and yet engages the world today in the 21st century as it is, the needs, the opportunities. Craig Blomberg, it's been a privilege to have you on for the last 2 days, and I thank you for really, in a very real sense, being a partner of Compassion Radio. The great Dr. Vernon Grounds, the former chancellor and president of your seminary, was a supporter of this radio ministry, and we loved him and honor him, and we remember him with great affection and honor. You indeed are a distinguished professor at that wonderful seminary in Denver. Thanks so much for being
well,
with
thank
us.
You. It's a privilege to be a little part of your ministry.
Another compelling conversation that comes from our Compassion Radio archives that originally aired 3 years ago at this time. And even though we lost our beloved Norm Nelson on April the 10th, you will continue to hear his voice from time to time as we weave in some of our best of broadcasts. Friends, we're going to celebrate Norm Nelson's life and incredible legacy, and we want you to be there to share it with us. This memorial service will be open to all of our Compassion Radio friends, especially those in Southern California. It's going to be held on Sunday, May 28th at 2:30 p.m. at Lutheran Church of the Cross in the city of Laguna Woods, California. Please call an RSVP at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Let's gather together and celebrate Norm's life. Come ready to join in powerful worship and bring your friends with you, especially those who love to sing. Meet the Compassion Radio team and meet other Compassion Radio partners as we come together to celebrate the life of the Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson. Once again, that's Sunday, May 28th, 2:30 p.m. at Lutheran Church of the Cross in the city of Laguna Woods. Get the details at CompassionRadio.com or by calling 1-800-868-2478. Thank you, and God bless you.
Friends, as you hear this, Sandy and I are on a mission of discovery to Eastern Europe. So please be praying for us that we'll see and hear everything that God wants us to in the first 2 weeks of May. I know that a whole lot has changed in the 30 years since I last traveled there. And it's not just the unparalleled freedoms people now enjoy in these former Soviet republics. We've heard about and are determined to see for ourselves the unprecedented outpouring of revival on the youth of Eastern Europe. The Word of God is making inroads in all facets of society and is causing a great awakening. As we meet new friends, we'll be reminding them about you, our Compassion Radio partners who are praying for them in their new spiritual springtime. So please, don't let us down. Do be praying for God's work in Eastern Europe. And thank you again for how you give to make the name of the Lord known in all the corners of the globe. We know you have 1,000 places where you can give each month, and that you choose us humbles us. We're very grateful. We continue to make progress on funding each of our vitally important projects and to bring you important stories of breathtaking scope because you make it possible. I can't say this enough. Compassion Radio does what no one else does, and we help those who take the Great Commission seriously. So I'm going to ask you again with all sincerity, would you join us? If you never have, now is the day to do it. Jim Governale will tell you how you can get started right now and help keep us on the air as your radio voice for global mission. Thank you so much. And be praying for Sandy and I as we head out to report on how the church is making tremendous progress in the former Soviet-controlled countries of Hungary, Slovakia, Poland, Ukraine, and the Czech Republic. We look forward to bringing that story to you in the days to come.
Thanks, Bram, and our prayers will certainly be with you and Sandy. As the Lord has guided this ministry over the last 2 decades of our 70-year history, sharing the hope of the gospel through the compassion of Christ has become a key priority of ours. It is a challenging calling. Give us a call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or you can always reach out to us on our safe and secure website, CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again tomorrow for our next edition of Compassion Radio.